Well, we're getting ready to move forward. I think God's been waiting. I was driving in, right before I hit the parking lot here, coming down the street. I just had this feeling of like I was kind of in the future a little bit, where I was just coming like to church, like more days than I wasn't not coming. And I feel that's what's coming. You believe that?
Yes.
Revival is, I remember the Lord told me a long time ago, He said, Josh, if you want revival, you can have it. He's not trying to keep something good from us. I mean, right? He wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh, right? It's like this camp they're going to. They're going to go learn how to walk, to know God more, and then to walk with God. You know? A lot of times, it's been appropriately said, people are waiting on God, but a lot of times God's waiting on us. Right? Canvassing. Did I use that word in the... I did use that word. Oh, canvas, yeah. But He just... I listened to the message and twice of Pastor Corey's. And he said, I see you guys just going out and canvassing the neighborhood saying, do you need healing? Finding people with mental disorders and sicknesses saying, God's healing, just bringing them in. He says, when you do that, He said, you're going to see a move of God. You know, we got a covenant with God. You need to be healed. You need something. Take it. But when there's people who don't know God or barely know God or whatever, God is going to, He said, I'll leave the 99 to go after the one. Right? He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but He's talking about priority, His priority. He's saying, this is my priority, so make sure it's yours. As the church, make sure your priority is the lost. Winning the lost at any cost. That's what we're here for. Amen? There's many different facets. We're not all called to do the same thing. But we as the church are here to seek and to save the lost, right? That's... Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you that you're gonna speak in this short time what you have to be spoken, and it's gonna be clear and concise in Jesus' name. We're talking about things about the end times, and we're talking about tribulation, rapture, these type of things. But these things are not the focus. We're to get a grid work so we understand what we're going into. But the purpose is knowing Him and winning the lost. Yes. That's what it's about. Amen? What He has a plan. It's to bring in a harvest. Amen? You know, and I've just been sharing some tidbits, you know. We're not going line by line out of Revelations, although that is a good thing. But we can't do that yet. I'm not saying we will in a Sunday setting like this, but the point is if you go and go into, if you just start reading Revelations now and you didn't have a grid work, it's just a bunch of weird stuff, you know? Whoa, dragons and swords and fire and, oh, there went a quarter of the earth. What is going on? This must be symbolic. No. Well, the dragon is, but he says it is. He's got a plan to bring in a harvest. You know, we talked about, if you look at Matthew 13 here real quick, we started there a couple weeks ago, and uh the parable of the wheat and the tares. It's in verse 24 through 30, not where he gives the meaning of it. But in verse 30, let me explain it real quick. Someone sows seed in a field, it's good wheat, but then when the wheat starts to come up, the laborers of the field come to the master of the field and they say, "Master, someone sowed tares in the field. There's tares coming up, big weed things. They look, and it looks just like wheat when it starts to come up. Now when it comes to maturity, it doesn't." And he said, an enemy's done this. And they said, "Okay, should we go and rip up the tares?" And he said, "No, because if you go rip up the tares, you're gonna destroy the harvest. Wait until the time of the harvest. And then when the time of harvest comes, then you'll come and take up the tares, bundle them together, burn them, and then bring in the harvest." So the meaning is this. Jesus is the one who sows the good seed in the field, right? He's the one who sows his word to see a harvest of men and women and children saved, to see souls saved, right? And the enemy is the devil who comes with his lies. But the laborers say, "Should we go and rip up the tares now? Should judgment come on it now?" No, because there's a harvest coming. But there will be a time at the end, the time of the harvest. You know, if you look at James chapter 5, you can, if you're taking notes, just write it down. I might go kind of fast. If you need note paper, raise your hand and they'll give you some. But James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Now to understand that verse, you got to understand what patience is. Patience isn't waiting. Waiting is part of it, but it is having corresponding actions to our faith during the time until the full promise comes. And so he's saying, like a farmer, you've got to be patient. Keep working the field because there's a harvest coming. And what does he say? Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. So as we talk about these things with the end times, it's not just so we have some knowledge of, you know, that we can stick in our back pocket. Isn't that cool? I got this timeline of the end times. Not that that's a problem. That is an aspect that we need. But it's just not about, I got the timeline down of the end times. No, it's about having a grid so that we live our lives with an understanding of what is coming, of what we're living in now. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. He's working a process for the greatest harvest of souls. It will happen in a great way to come, but it's right now. Jesus is coming. We're not here to block sun and suck air. We're here for a purpose. Right? Amen. Yeah. Ethan, he keeps talking to me about you, man. Things are getting closer for you. I just feel like this, it's just coming real close now. Keep studying the Word of God, okay? Stay in prayer, okay? He's going to use you in a profound way, even within months, if you're ready for what he has for you, okay? All right? You know who Jephtha is? You know who Jephtha is? It's not someone at school or anything. It might be. I don't know. Maybe there is someone at school named Jephtha. But Jephtha, read about Jephtha, because Jephtha, not for you, but God is going to use you to redefine who people think they are. I don't know if that makes sense. Here's, because the enemy has lied, this culture has lied. I mean, we've all been lied to, but the enemy in this culture has lied to everybody, but specifically people your age group, okay, in a like never before. And Jephthah, he was rejected by his brothers, and so but he was a powerful hunter and warrior, and he had to just hang out with these renegade dudes, you know, because they kicked him out basically because of because he was the son of a prostitute, and his brothers were like, get out of here, you don't have any inheritance with us, you're not really our brother, whatever. And so this guy, he carried around an inferiority, what's the word? Yeah. Root of rejection he had. Okay. He was nobody. He felt like nobody, and he was cast out. And then when the enemy came, then they went and came and got him. Okay. There are people out there that God has marked for this move that he's going to bring them into. Let me backtrack and say this again. There is a move of his spirit. It's already begun, but it's escalating. And compared to what we're going into, it doesn't even look like it's begun, but it has begun. Am I making sense? Okay. There are people that he wants to use that do not look like they're the ones. They don't look like the ones God's called. You know what I'm saying? Not at all. But here's the thing. They've been defined who they are by lies. And one of the things God wants to use you to do is redefine who they are. Does that make sense? And you're like, why is he saying this in front of everybody? I don't know, but I'm sure everyone can get something from it. You know what I'm saying? Because if I say to some, if I say you're a punk, you're this, you're that, you're just nothing, this is your lot in life, this is what you, and they've been defined by that. They have no clue. But God will put a word in your mouth if you'll be obedient to speak to him and say, no, here's what God's called you to. There's a gift in you for this. And I'm just giving you examples, okay? All right. God will open the door in a sense, but you've got to be obedient to speak. And okay, I want that which is supernatural to, in your mindset, become natural to you. These doors, okay? This is what's coming. I'm putting myself, not in one sense, because I don't want to freak you out, Ethan. I don't want to freak you out. But if you keep seeking him, the more these things are going to begin to happen. Okay? It's not who you are. Just like I'm saying to you, what you're going to speak to them. It's not who they look like, not that they got it all together. It's not that, you know, you got it all together. It's God. And no flesh is going to glory in his presence. And we just say, you know what? I'm a mess, but I'm just going to give my life to God and help me, Lord. And he'll use you in the midst of that. And he's going to use you to pull people out of that same mess. They're such a mess, Ethan. They've been lied to. I'm sorry, Ethan. But they've been lied to. Okay? You got to go tell them the truth. You got to go tell them the truth. Okay? I just really feel like just even in months, there's going to be doors just like you, okay, that God has for you to go through. He's not going to make you, but you watch. You watch. If you'll do it. I mean, he's not going to ask you to do anything you can't do. But that's just so, I don't know. All right. It's not you. It's not you. It's the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you, the Bible says. He's going to give you words to speak to him. And you're going to see things clearly. You're going to see things clearly about people in a new way. And so it's going to be very natural. It's not going to be like, oh, I got a word of God. You know, you're just going to be talking to them. No. This is who you are. And I'm not saying the word's going to, you say whatever, how it goes, I don't know. But that's what's going to be expressed. No. Here's what's for you. Here's where you're going. And some of it may be natural things down the road, but God's going to work it in to bring them some into the kingdom. Some may already be in the kingdom, but to bring them closer to the reality that God has for them. Okay? I started college for, I just didn't even make it past the basics. I almost didn't even get into the basics yet. But when I started college, I was going into industrial design, and I was looking forward to it. But I hit college, and man, that was a drag. And all of a sudden, I really just gave my life to God back in when I was 18, 19. But I still started going to college. But God began to speak into my life some things. I remember even her old pastor had a word for me, Pastor Ron Morey. She don't remember me when I was there, but I was probably there when I was probably about 19 years old. Back in 93. Yeah. And he didn't know me from anybody. There's men that are not doing the ministries I've called them to do, so I'm going to give these ministries to you. I'm like, okay. Wow. I blocked it out of my brain. I did. I kept going to school, and I was like, that was so far from reality to me that, but after time, as God began to speak some other things to me, then it started to settle in. What am I talking about? I don't know, except for we need his reality. And when we talk about the things about the end times, one of the reasons we do, it's so that we live in reality. Because the amazing thing is we are eternal beings here on this planet for just a blink of an eye. But yet, most people, by far, live for this blink of the eye. Even Christians have difficulty living for what is to come. And he said, you've got to lay that down. You got to trust me. You know, he was talking about the witnesses who they were living for what was to come. Abraham saw a city whose builder and maker was God. Well, I thought he was just waiting for a son. He was, but he saw a whole lot more than having a son, Isaac. He saw a city whose builder and maker was God. He was living for eternal purpose. That's what caused him to come out of the land that he knew, from the house that he knew, from the family that he knew, to live in a foreign land among foreign people who were somewhat a little bit hostile to him, and to live in a tent, because God said, I'm going to give you this land, and one day your people are going to fill this land, and through your people, I'm going to bless all nations. And he had a vision of eternity, the writer of Hebrews says. He didn't say it like that, but he said he saw a city whose builder and maker was God. This was New Jerusalem, the city that's going to come down from heaven. See, many people have the paradigm that Jesus is coming to take us to heaven. Wrong! He's coming to bring heaven to earth. He's coming to bring heaven to earth. And it is coming. It's approaching. Can you say amen? Woo, glory, hallelujah. You excited?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
No holding back. No holding back. I mean, what do I got to lose? My reputation? Oh, lost that. Whoops. You gonna kill me? Oh, can't do that before the time. You can't threaten me with that anyhow. Not worried. So what do I got to lose? Nothing. My life. What do I got to gain? Everything. Right? I'm feeling a little happy. I think you might as well too. Because I think Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. A glorious bride. A glorious bride. Amen? Times of glory. The fullness of God. That's what's coming. Is times of trouble coming? Yes, and we have to be aware of that. So we're not offended, and we can help other people not become offended and be ready. But there's times of glory coming. Can you say amen? Come on, make it easy for me to preach. Just kidding. I'm just going to bust. Time, hallelujah. Huh. Elijah, the fire of God came on him, and he ran ahead of King Ahab, who was in a chariot. It was prophetic. Church ain't going to be pathetic, but prophetic. We're going to run ahead. Amen? Oh, Lord, have your way. The anointing of God is going to come upon these young people. It's going to come upon you. But we can't have this mentality of going to church and just going through life, you know?
That's right. Amen.
We got to take care of our things, whatever. I understand. But this is a time like no other. And I'm not saying... You know, I think there's probably some time left, but regardless, things are building. Things are building. You look at the book of Revelations, and it says something very interesting. It was written to the first century church, right? In the second, in the third, in the fourth, and all the way to us, right? But it was written also for the first century church. And he said, blessed is he who reads these and hears these words, for I'm coming soon. Well, did he come when the first century church was there? Obviously not. But he said to the first century church about this letter of the book of Revelations, if you read these things and hear it and do it, it will be a blessing to you. Not, oh, I feel like it was just a blessing. I feel like warm and fuzzy when I read it. No. A blessing. It will empower your life. If you hear these words in the book of Revelation and do them and walk a lifestyle in accordance with them. That's what he said to the first century church. How much more is it true to us? Well, why would he say that to the first century church? They needed to live with eternity on their minds. And they did. The first century church was the only other church who predominantly lived with a mindset that Jesus is coming. Let's do everything today that we need to do today. Are you hearing me? You look at this in the look at Acts chapter 1. I believe it. I believe this book. And he's helping any unbelief. But you know what? Part of that is you just stepping out using the faith you got. Like, you want more faith? Well, use the faith you got. You want to see people get out of wheelchairs? Pray for people with something wrong with them. Contend. I believe, but I don't pray for people. Well, okay. Or start, right? Start. God will use you. It's not about you, right? It's about the name of Jesus. You believe in the name of Jesus. It's not you. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that heals. So Jesus gives them his last words here in verse 8. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you unto heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. I mean, the guy, not just the guy, the Jesus, God in flesh, who, Rabbi, who you followed for 3.5 years, who you gave your life to, just went up into a cloud into heaven. I think it would be somewhat natural to go, oh. But the Lord saw fit to have two angels there at that moment that he disappeared out of the cloud and said, what you doing looking at up there? He's coming back. Don't you got work down here? What you looking up there for? You got work down here. He's coming back. The way you just saw him go, he's coming back. Go do what he told you to do. Go do what he told you to do. Go to Jerusalem, wait for the power, and then go. Go to Jerusalem, wait for the power, then go. Not to pat myself on the back, but I'm preaching better than you're responding. Because it's not about me. I feel like, you know, I just, like, someone would probably run around the place or something. It's just like, yeah, well, you're in Christ. You're in Christ. And there's no Jew, nor Gentile, nor Norwegian, nor dignified. Right? Good. You're Jewish. We're all a little bit Jewish now. I mean that in a good way. We've been grafted in. Amen. He said, let boldness come upon your servants by stretching out your hand that signs and wonders would be done through your name. And when they prayed, the place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. People that were already filled got filled. So people that were already filled got filled. He said he'll anoint our cup with, or he'll anoint our head with oil and our cup will overflow. If you ain't overflowing, then don't be going, well, I got baptized in the Lord back about a few years ago, and you better get some more. And I don't, he's not some, but I mean, he wants to receive en fuego, Espíritu Santo, huh? That was Spanish. Yes. Receive fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it ain't about a program, about going to the streets. It's about a lifestyle. It's about a mentality. Amen? It's about a mentality. Silver and gold, I don't got any right now. But what I do have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Well, let's pray and see what God will do. No, no. What I do have, I'm going to give it to you. In the name of Jesus. I have the name of Jesus. Marine doesn't wake up one day and go, well, you know, I felt like I had my name yesterday, but I don't know if I really feel like I do today. No, she's got my name. She's stuck with it. Right? She's got my name. And she gets a checkbook, she can use it. Yeah? She's got my name. I didn't. She uses it, right? Bless the Lord. I didn't mean that in a bad way. I didn't. I'm just saying you use it. You're right, Marine Pfister. And whatever money I put in, she can take out. Whatever he put in, he's given us the glory that he had with the Father. He said, go heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Amen? Hallelujah. I believe God wants to touch these young ladies before they go to camp. We're going to pray for them. We have Sandy and Marine stand up here. And then maybe if you girls, would you come and line up here facing them? And then if your parents are here, they can stand behind you. If your parents are not here, then we could have a surrogate parent. It's called. Yeah, just go. Yeah, come down here, Amber. Amber. Yeah, right there. Just got to stand right here. Great. Hallelujah. And then let's. Gabrielle and Rayanne aren't here. I want Sandy and Marine to pray. Just pray over them on the microphone, and then we're going to lay hands on them after that, okay? Hallelujah. Just be in agreement for what God wants to do here.
Hallelujah. Are we excited? Are we excited? Woo-hoo! We are excited. Lord, this is your plan.
Amen.
This is your doing. Because you know where we're going. And you know where these kids need to go. Mm-hmm. And Father, we are expecting a Holy Ghost connection, Lord God, with these kids. We're expecting them to go not only just have fun in the natural realm, Lord, but to receive more of you, to receive an infilling, Lord God, of your Spirit.
Yes.
God, we are believing that these kids, Lord, are going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to be healed. We're going to believe that they're going to raise the dead. We're going to believe, Lord God, that they're going to prophesy. Father, we're going to believe that they're going to save those that are lost. We believe, Father God, because you have a purpose for each one of these kids. Lord, this is your purpose. This is just another stepping stone, Father God, for their growth in you. Father, you have laid this out. You have put this before them. And God, we are expecting. We are a team. We are a team. We are not alone. We are not loners. We are a team together, Lord God, going forth, Lord God, to grow together, to learn together, Lord God, in your name.
Yes.
So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, for each and every child, Lord God, young lady, God, that is going, Lord, on this trip. Father, we're expecting, Lord God, that connection. We are expecting an invasion of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. that come in and touch their lives. Father God, touch. Fill them, God.
Yes.
Anoint them, Lord. Commission them, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
I agree. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. I am just believing, we are believing together that, God, you are going to grab a hold of the heart of every one of these girls in a way that makes anything of the world pale in comparison. God, I just thank you that when they leave that place, Lord, that they were going to be a new person, God. And as they go into these middle school and high school years, Lord, that you are going to use them as a light to all the kids around them, Lord, that they are going to be able to stand through these times when there's so much temptation and so much pressure. I thank you, God, that you are going to be the rock that they stand on. Lord, I thank you that you are going to be the anchor that holds them in place. So we thank you, God, that they are going to meet you at this camp, Lord. I thank you that they are going to walk away knowing you in a way that they did not know you before, God. I thank you that they are going to see that narrow path that leads to life is the path that they want to stay on. Whether it be difficult, that's worth it, because in the end, they're going to end up in life, not destruction, but life. And so I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are setting the course for their life, and it's going to be that narrow path, Lord. You are going to give them the vision that they need. You're going to open their eyes the way that their eyes need to be opened, God, so that they can see things in a spiritual way, God, that they understand the attacks of the enemy and they know how to counterattack it. So we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving them that wisdom. You're giving them that insight. You're opening their eyes, God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Lord, we just commit them to you, God. And as we're just going to lay hands on you now and just believe that God's going to fill you with the Spirit and just prepare you for what he has for camp. In Jesus' name.